Blog Talk Radio.
It's that bread, right?
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, a hot block command.
Hi, Rihanna. Yes, we are. War Room family, what up? This Thursday, October 13th, 2011, we'd like to welcome you into our man cave. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm here in the cave with my brothers from different mothers, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, and B. Austin. Tonight, we're going to update you yet again on the NBA lockout. Discuss NFL Week 5, a little MLB playoffs, and whatever else just happens to come up. Get in the chat room and join the conversation right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter. As usual, we encourage you to call in and holler at the fellas when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Quick shout out to our radio fam, the Broad Street Line. Check Roy and Chris every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We also want to give a shout to Drew from Buzz on Broad. Check out their site at buzzonbroad.com. But right now, Jimmy has birthdays on his menu.
My birthday, yay!
What's up, good brothers? Y'all ready to get it busy?
What up, yes, LBD? You got birthdays on your menu.
Yo, the first birthday I want to talk about is Kill Man. Akil, I want to hear what you got to say about this. I want to see where you fall. I know this is your homie. But first off, before I even get into that, some of you ladies out there, I've been seeing y'all on the street, and y'all hair is looking real horrible. So before we even get into the first birthday, let's talk about who the birthdays are brought to you by. And that's Dave's Hair Salon at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Like, some of y'all need to get some of y'all Beverly Johnson done right because it looks horrible out there. Anyway.
See Lisa.
I digress. back to the birthdays. Kill, I'm going to start off with you because the first birthday is Gerald Wayne Jones, who turned 69.
My birthday,
yeah.
Yay!
That's Jerry Jones, the layman.
Yeah, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner. Well, I mean, you guys know my perspective, but I can let the War Room world know that I appreciate all that Jerry Jones has done as an owner to market and promote the team and bring in revenue and make the Cowboys one of actually the most lucrative football franchise in the NFL and one of the most lucrative in the world. But as a general manager, he should have fired himself four different times since he owned the team. I mean, move after move, like he'll sign T.O., and then he'll, which I didn't agree with, but then he'll extend T.O., and then he'll cut T.O., but then he'll trade three or four draft picks for Roy Williams. And then 2 years later, he cuts Roy Williams. So it's kind of like ever since he fired Jimmy Johnson, who built the team with our three Super Bowls, we sucked since Jimmy left outside of the fake Switzer Super Bowl. But other than that, yeah, that's about it. He needs to fire himself as GM. So, Cowboy fans, we won't win the Super Bowl until Jerry Jones steps back.
Wow. I ask you because, like, talk to Cowboy fans, it's like there's no in-between. Like, people just, like the guy or they hate him. So, you know, I was just wondering how you felt that. What's on your mind?
I'm just thinking that it's ironic that 2 weeks in a row on birthdays we had a dude named Gerald. I didn't really think that, you know, people were named Gerald. I didn't know that was, you know, Jerry was short for Gerald, but I do know that now. But, you know, just same thing as Kill. He's like the premier owner in the NFL. You know, his face is always out there. You know, he knows what he's doing on the business side of things. He kind of got lucky back in the 90s because, you know, he hired some people who knew what they were doing. But it seems like ever since then, you know, he doesn't want anybody coaching his team that's going to outshine him. That's why the Tuna's
according
short
to him,
in Dallas.
According to him, back in the 90s, he was the one who made those picks. That's according to him. Before I get to you all, I just want to say, when I personally think of Jerry Jones, I think of plastic surgery. And I also think of marketing, because the dude is a marketing genius. Like, he has people believing that the Cowboys are, like, you know, America's team, so to speak. And, you know, it's just crazy to see how people treat the Cowboys, and that's all thanks to how he marketed his team and his franchise. So shout out to him from that. But, Austin, what you got to say?
Yo, happy birthday, Jarrell. I'm thankful that you're involved with the NFL, because as long as you and Daniel Snyder are around, no matter how bad the Eagles are, we always have a chance because of your personnel decisions. So, happy birthday.
All right, then.
All right, let's move on to the next birthday, then.
Another
the
Jerry.
Next birthday is another Jerry. One Jerry Lee Rice, who turns 49.
My birthday, yay!
It's crazy that he's 49. Like, I feel like, you know, but then again, he played until he was 40. So,
played
until
he was 45.
Right. Yeah.
Jerry Rice. I just think of the greatest receiver who's ever lived, and he didn't do it off talent. He did it off hard work. But one thing, one pressing thing in my memory about Jerry Rice, man, is when he was, you know, older and probably should have retired, he wasn't just holding on to his career, but he was holding on to them cornrows. And his hairline didn't start until, like, the middle of his head. And I was like, Jerry, just go with the baldy, yo. He was holding on. It wasn't just that you have hair and your hairline is in the middle of your head, but you had cornrows. So his rolls didn't even start until the middle of it. That's what I remember. Besides the greatness, that's what I remember the most about Jerry Rice, man.
Yo, I personally, when I think of Jerry Rice, in my opinion, Jerry Rice is the greatest football player ever. And I say that because when you talk about position by position, there's only one position in, like, you know, all the sports where there's no debate on who's the greatest. Mm-hmm. And that's the wide receiver position. I've never heard anyone even argue with Jerry Rice. You know, but like Dev said, he played until he was damn near 45 because, yo, he's 49 already. I'm like, he just retired a couple of years ago. Well, at least it seems that way. Anyway, Austin, what you got on the great Jerry Lee Rice?
They waxed his face down. He ready going. Got his bust made up. I mean, general consensus, I don't argue with people that say Jerry Rice is the greatest of all time. My opinion has changed recently because I don't know if I can give the greatest of all time, period, to someone who plays on a position or plays a position that's so dependent. But he's top three that are alive.
How about wide receiver? Where you recommend wide
receiver? Definitely. Oh, man, far and away. Like, there's no one even close.
Okay.
There's no one even. No one even should be mentioned in the conversation at wide receiver.
Got you. With Duke. Got you. All right, no doubt. That's what's up.
And his gear was weak.
I don't know. The boy Leon, nice though.
One thing, I got a quote from our homie.
He looks like Jerry Rice out there.
All right. Greatest receiver of all time, easily. Obviously, one of the top three. Probably football players of all time. Like Dev alluded to, yeah, his cornrow game was weak back in the day. Well, not back in the day, but back in when he was about to retire.
A couple years
and,
ago.
The thing is, he ran, like, what, a 4 or 5 at the combine, but every time he turned around, he was busting everybody's ass, Scott, from Deion to mm-hmm. Daryl Green to Winston to whoever. Yeah, and I mean, I remember one time, he was cooking Deion so bad that Deion would started, like, trying to push him out of bounds out the end zone because he just kept roasting him.
Yo, Tom Brady ran like an 11-4 at the combine.
So what does that tell you about the 40? What does that mean?
What's that tell you about the combine period?
The combine
like,
is a waste of
the combine.
A weekend.
No. Yo, but you know what? The only receiver I say that has a shot or is even close to being mentioned with Jerry Rice is Rod Tidwell. Anyway, the next birthday I want to bring up is a War Room favorite. He's part of the family here, and that's one Brian Patrick Dawkins.
My
turns
birthday.
38. Yay. Brian Patrick Dawkins.
Yo, I remember. Obviously, not being an Eagles fan, being a Cowboys fan, I can appreciate what Brian Dawkins brought to the table. And I remember there was a Monday night game, against Green Bay maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and Brian Dawkins, like, covered the whole back of the end zone by himself from, like, corner to corner. And then something happened where, like, it was an errant pass, but Brian Dawkins took off to hit the Green Bay receiver, and he was, like, parallel with the ground, probably about 4 or 5 feet in the air, and, like, he just missed the receiver, and the receiver missed the ball. Now, this probably won't be on a highlight, but I was like, yo, cuz, dude is an animal. So, there you go.
Yeah.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fella. Who is you gonna bring to the doggone church?
B-Dog be mad.
More or less, yo. Brian Dawkins is like, yo, it's funny because I'm a Broncos fan, but there's no way you can watch football and not appreciate and love this dude, no rainbow.
Yeah.
When he came to the Broncos, I knew he was old and he had that much left, but I still was excited. You know, it's like I put him up there with Ray Lewis. Says, yo, I probably would rumble for Brian Dawkins, and I've never met the man once in my life. But, yo, he's on that list, yo, and that's all I got to say about the young man.
Damn. That's funny because that's actually what I was about to say because I remember I told y'all there's a list of maybe four dudes that I don't know that I've never seen in my life, never met in my life that I will probably back up in a bar fight, and Brian Dawkins is probably number one on that list. I mean, the man, he a holy man, so he probably won't be in the bar. But, you know, because, you know, Ray Lewis is one of them. He probably will be in the bar. He used to be. He a holy man now, too. So I don't know. I might not be in the bar with these cats, but if we happen to be in the bar and something jump off, I'm throwing a stool for Brian Dawkins.
Yo, last but not least, I want to know what the homie B. Austin has to say.
He probably crying in the background.
I know. That's why I say for last.
Yo, B-Dawk changed my life, man.
Yo,
no rainbow Skittles or no Atlanta. But, yeah, I love you, man. And I really can't, you know, I can't say anything other than that. I just love dude, man.
All right, now one more birthday before we move on. That last birthday is when Jermaine Lee O'Neal. What's up with all these Lees, yo?
I don't know. Jerry Lee, Jermaine Lee.
Yeah, Jermaine Lee O'Neal turns 33. I'm going to start with you, Austin. Jermaine O'Neal.
Hold on, let me get myself together. Jermaine is one of these folks that's uber talented. He kind of reminds me of Sheed. Probably nowhere near that smart on the court, but he's talented like a Tim Duncan or an Amari or any of your top tier pivot players. But he's either injured or he just doesn't care.
He either don't know or he don't show. Anyway.
Yo, Jermaine O'Neal, he, if I'm not mistaken, homie made like $18 million this year or last year, and that's a disgrace.
It was recent.
I mean, he was a talented player when he signed it, but that's part of the reason why we're locked out now, because owners are signing these players these ridiculously long deals for like $20 million a year. Like, there's no way Jermaine O'Neal should have been making, you know what, sorry, my bad. This past year with the Celtics, he made $6 million, right? But the last three years prior, he made $23 million with the Heat, $21 million with the Heat, $19 million with the Pacers, $18 million, $16 million, $14 million, $13. So I can understand the $13, $14, $16, and $18. But there's no way from 07 to 2010 he should have made $19, $21, and
$23.
I didn't know he played those years.
Yeah, I didn't see him on the court
those
years.
He was, like, injured.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he was injured for most of that time, too.
Exactly. I agree with y'all saying because he is nice. Like, when he's healthy, which is never, he's one of the best big men in the league. Throw him at the four or throw him at the five. And
yo,
he plays
defense. I thought that Pacers team they had when they had Artest and O'Neal and, like, Jackson, like, I thought
that
they
was
going to be a problem.
The chip, yo. That team was winning.
I thought they was going to be a problem.
Yo, if Ron Artest and Jackson didn't jump in the crowd, and if Jermaine O'Neal didn't sucker punch that Mexican ball, they was winning the chip there.
You know, it's real funny because the three people you named are some of the most talented yet troubled players in the league, because you know none of us would ever consider Captain Jack like top 10, top 20, but talent-wise, where would y'all put Captain Jack? And Jermaine and Ron.
My question. How do those three cats end up on the same team in the middle of the country in Indiana? Like,
and look,
three
and look, Jimmy, and Jimmy.
Indiana.
And then the point guard dude from New York had him in the strip club every night with the guns.
Tinsley, Jamal.
Nah, but going back to O'Neal, he got the best punch off of that whole Malice in the Palace. But we can move on.
Yo, that punch covered like 5 yards.
Yo, he got the 7 foot wingspan. He's
crazy reach. He had an Antonio Tarver reach. Anyway.
Yeah.
Those are the birthdays. Dev, let everybody know what happened while they were on the grind.
Yes, sir. Yes, I will. And on the grind, people, is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. I can't find the what's the name. Oh. All right. Did y'all hear about the fan who threw a hot dog at Tiger Woods? Yo, this dude, Brandon Kelly of Petaluma, I don't even know where that is. Yo, he said he threw the hot dog at Tiger because he got the idea after watching the movie Drive. That's a recent movie starring Ryan Gosling as a stunt driver who moonlights as a getaway driver. So this dude said, as soon as the movie ended, I thought to myself, I have to do something courageous and epic. I have to throw a hot dog on the green in front of Tiger. So when they interviewed him after he got arrested, he said, I threw the hot dog towards Tiger Woods because I was inspired by the movie Drive. As soon as the movie, same thing I just said, as soon as the movie ended, I figured I had to do something courageous and epic. Yo, what's wrong with dude? Why? Throw a hot dog at the dude? And he claims that he's a fan.
That courageous and epic.
So, and if you're a fan of a guy, why are you throwing hot dogs at him while he's trying to putt?
Why not run into a burning building or, like, you know, solve some murders? You want to throw a hot dog at Tiger? That's epic and courageous.
That sounds like
something would happen in Atlanta.
Sound like you're trying to give Tiger a little hint.
Yeah.
The hotel later.
Dude, don't get no P zone, because if he did, he wouldn't be doing nonsense like that.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. Like, you're gonna go to jail because you got excited when you saw some movie and you decided to throw a hot dog at somebody that you claim to be a fan of. That doesn't make sense. Jesus. If you're going to do something, throw it at his competition or something. Throw it at Phil Mickelson. But the whole thing with Kobe and the Italian team is saying basically the deal with Kobe is getting a little tedious. It's hard to get the negotiations going because they're faced with all kinds of television rights and scheduling issues over in Italy. So now they're saying they want to do an exhibition game, which is going to be called Tribute to Kobe, sometime in October.
Wow.
And they're planning on, listen, they're going to pay Kobe between $1 and $2 million to play in this game. Yo, what if he has an off night? You're going to pay the dude $1 to $2 million to play in an exhibition game that's a tribute to him. That's like...
Yo, that is hilarious. Like, and it's crazy because Kobe makes so much money that, yo, I was looking the other day at the amount of money that athletes plan to lose once the season is supposed to start and there is no season. You know, they say Kobe's making like $2 million bi-weekly. Like, dude, get a bi-weekly check of like $2 million.
Yeah, they said because of the first 2 weeks being canceled, they said Carmelo, that check that he's missing out on would have been $771,000.
Yo, Kobe gets $2 million bi-weekly. Yo, for y'all out there who work and get paid bi-weekly, could you imagine getting a check for $2 million bi-weekly?
Yeah, but imagine getting a check for $2 million for one game in Italy?
One
you know game. What that reminds me of? That reminds me of this.
The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Yo, get off Kobe's shot. Y'all tripping.
Yo, what do you think ticket prices will be like for that one game?
I know. They're going to charge everybody like $165 for the nosebleeds. But next story.
Yo, real quick. My thing is everybody else's deal is getting like hashed out really quick or, you know, what's up with Kobe like taking, they're doing this, they can't do that. I'm like,
yo, if you really want to play, homie, just go over there and play.
Yeah, he probably don't want to, though. No, but they're saying a lot of the stuff that's getting in the way now is issues over there. Because remember when we talked about it before, they were trying to change the schedule because they wanted, while Kobe was there for 10 games, they wanted him to play against the best teams, and they wanted to get the best matchups so they can get more money. So they're talking about, you know, the
changing around
issue.
Their entire schedule.
Exactly. They're trying to change the whole schedule, and it sounds like they're not being successful. So they're saying those are like roadblocks, so let's just pay the dude the whole thing. What we're going to pay him just to play in one game, it doesn't even count. So I guess they're figuring instead of all the games against the top people, they probably just get an all-star team together and let Kobe play against him, like by himself.
By himself. I'm going to be honest with y'all, and I know that y'all may not be thinking about this, but if you think about the amount of hate that he receives here, the amount of calls that are missed, the fact that people don't appreciate that this man put up 81, the fact that he's the greatest in the world and people still take the time to poo-poo on that, yo, let him get $1.5 million or $2 million for a game. He deserves it.
Yeah,
he deserves it, man.
He put in the work to do that, huh? All right, next story. It's something Jimmy brought up to us earlier in the week. But as a twist to the story now, I'll go back to the comments after I tell you what's going on now, but Kenyon Martin pulls down his Twitter account because of the comments he made earlier in the week. Now, he said later on that he didn't even make those comments. These are the comments. These are the controversial comments, and I don't really know why, but from listening to other radio shows, they were saying after one of the meetings, like Derek Fisher had all of the players who had Twitter accounts throw something on their account that said something like, let us play, trying to get the sympathy from the fans, and it kind of backfired, and the fans weren't really going for that. They were like, you know, if y'all want to play, then go in there and sign a deal and play. You know, don't be looking for sympathy from us. So that's what I heard his tweet was in response to it, but I'm not sure if that's 100% true. But this is what he said. He said, all haters should catch full-blown AIDS and die. Do the world a favor and rid us of y'all all.
Sounds like one of our PTRs.
But this is what he said. Yo. This is what he said afterwards. He said, this is Kenyon, folks. I didn't write that about the AIDS. I can say some bleep, but I'm not that bleeping crazy. And then after that, his Twitter account was gone. So if you didn't say it, you know, then why are you deleting your account? Any thoughts on that?
You know what? I got PTR about this, and I'll get to that.
Yeah, I know Jimmy's going to address this in a minute.
The bull got a pair of lips tattooed on his
head. You need more people.
Exactly what my man Mel just said. You got a pair of lips on your neck. You got another tattoo that says bad donkey yellow boy. I was trying to see if you was going to write, I'm thankful my great-great-great-grandma got touched by a white man and I'm light-skinned tattoo on your chest.
I'm not going to comment on that right there, B. Austin, because I'm going to leave that one alone, man.
All right, so go ahead.
I was going to say, with Kenyon Martin, like, I mean, he's known to spaz out and say and do outlandish things on the court and by himself. But with every NBA athlete, when they say something that draws criticism or fire, why do they all say, oh, my account got hacked. Oh, that wasn't me. Oh, I'm like, yo, just man up and own up to it. You know, they need to be like, what's the boy named? Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State. You know, just be a man and own up to it. So.
Yeah.
More or less.
All right, well, that's really all the stories I got, but I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Angela Rippon. She's the daughter of Mark Rippon, former Washington Redskins quarterback, and she is now the starting quarterback for the Seattle Miss in the Lingerie Football League. And if you haven't seen Angela Rippon, there's a picture of her next to her daddy on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/WarRoomSports. You won't be disappointed. So that's what happened,
like,
everybody. While y'all were on the grind.
Yo, real quick in the chat room, Monty215 said, "Be awesome, been taking shots at him all week. First Eminem, now you dissing light skinned people." And he's like, shout out to Mon. Shout out to Mon. Anyway,
true.
Time to pass the rock. Yo, Pass the Rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Check out their website. You can get a link to that on our website. What I'm going to do is inbound the rock to Dev and see what Dev got to say this week.
I'm going to bring the ball up past half court, and I ain't going to say nothing because I ain't got nothing to say. So I'm going to pass that rock to my man, B. Austin.
Yo, I was real hyped the other night. The BET Hip Hop Awards was on. And, of course, as most of y'all know, I don't turn to that channel. What's the point? But as I was on Facebook, I got hit up, and I saw this beautiful cipher. And I just want to thank Joel Ortiz, Joe Buttons, Crooked Eye, Yellow Wolf, and my man, Eminem. Props to y'all. Thanks for keeping hip-hop funky and bringing it back, because it was on life support without y'all. And my fan Nickel, I think I forgot Nickel 9 in there. With that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man Kill.
Yo, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was a pretty tight cipher right there. And then shout-out to my man Blind Slurry from South Carolina, who was spitting too.
He killed it, though.
Yo, he killed it. Yeah, so, hey, War Room family, I just wanted to just shed some light on my Cowboys real quick. As you know, we played four, I guess you can say, blood pressure-rising games. They all went down to the wire. They all were all over the place. After some games, everybody was like, Tony Romo's the worst quarterback in the NFL. We need to get rid of him. Another game, they said, man, Tony Romo might be in that upper echelon now for the way he played in the fourth quarter. And I just wanted to let you all know that the doctor-to-be has been 4-0 on picks in all the Cowboys games in our ESPN picks getting picked. And I'll be honest, some games I was like, man, versus the Lions, and I guess I made the wrong pick. And all of a sudden we lose, oh, I made the right pick. You know, then against the thinking, man, I made the wrong pick. Then all of a sudden we win. I'm like, we made the right pick. I made the right pick. And the same goes on for the Redskins and 49ers game. So week five, we had a bye. That's cool. And all my Cowboy fans out there, just chill. You know, we won't be winning those Super Bowls this year. We're probably not going to win the division. You know, we'll be an average team, like I said. You know, we may go 8-8, maybe 9-7. If we steal this game next week, we'll maybe can go 10-6, but we are what we are. And moving on to, well, not next week, but this week, I expect us to come back and beat the New England Patriots, and this is why. You know, we're known to lose to who we shouldn't lose to and then beat somebody we're not supposed to beat every now and then. So because of Rob Ryan and his success with Tom Brady when he was the coach of the Browns and his brother's success against Tom Brady and us having 2 weeks to prepare, I do see us stepping in and Tony Romo bouncing back like he has done and steal a game from the Patriots. So with that, I will go between my legs, behind the back, right back between my legs, left to right, and throw a one-hand pass to James Williams in the corner for the shot.
Yes, sir. Yo, it's funny you mentioned all that about the Cowboys. That just shows you the genius of Jerrall Jones because the Cowboys games all seem like an event. Like, yo, the Cowboys are not bigger than the NFL. I shouldn't say that, but the amount of, like, attention they get considering they're in Dallas and, you know, the team is not that good is amazing to me.
Hey, Jim, you know, I've been down to that new stadium, and it is an event, yo. It's like,
yeah,
it's like homecoming.
But it's like, yo,
the Cowboys
even
game,
when
like,
they're even when they're on the road, like the amount of attention like Dallas gets, like he's created this image of this team that's just like crazy.
It's like homecoming when Dallas comes to town.
It's like homecoming when they come home. Yo, this is War Room Jimmy, aka at JW the Blueprint. Go follow me on Twitter. And this week, I want to say a few words about Kenyon Lee Martin and his use of Twitter. Dev just mentioned how Kenyon Martin sent out a tweet saying that all his haters should catch AIDS and die. As a matter of fact, he said, full blown AIDS. Like, you don't even want to give him a chance to, like, you know, get the Andrew Beckett on. Anyway, just like most athletes and entertainers, he afterwards said that it was not him that sent the tweet and shut down his account. Now, I'm not going to speak about what he said, but my question is this, guys. Who hates Kenyon Martin? Seriously. I hear people on a daily basis always walk around talking about, quote unquote, their haters. And I'm sorry to tell most of you, but some of y'all just don't have haters. Some of you guys are not relevant enough to have haters. That includes athletes, entertainers, and everyday people. And back to you cats who write tweets, and then you get a negative response, and you say it wasn't you. To you, I say FOH, because I'm disappointed in all you cats. If you say something, do me a favor and stand by it. I'm more disappointed in you than Lawrence Fishburne was when he saw his daughter in her first movie role. As a matter of fact, I'm more disappointed than I was when I saw her first movie role and noticed all those scars and chimpanzee bite marks on her booty. Anyway, the point I'm making is twofold. All of you candy-ass jabronis that claim to have haters, you don't have haters. And if you make a statement and people don't like it, then stop backtracking and stand by your words. Yo, I'm done, and I'm nice. And with that, I don't even take it to the hole. I pull up for the sweet jump shot. It's like butter, baby.
At the buzzer, and the crowd goes wild.
Yo, Monty the chat room said full-blown AIDS, not the Magic Johnson.
In the face!
Magic had AIDS for like 30 years. Who does that?
Yeah, I know. That is crazy. All right, y'all, let me tell them how to get in contact with us real quick. People, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. You can do that right from the homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. While you're still on the site, click the memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the blog tab to read the latest sports articles on the greatest sports blog there ever was, All's Fair in Sports and War. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and to subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Watch our War Room videos at warroomsportstv.com for access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime. Download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and catch updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us personally, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, we might just call on you. All right, so anything going on in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter right now?
Yeah, chat room is popping. It's funny, me and Martin here talking, you know, telling how Magic got the cure for AIDS. He got it from Dumbledore. But at any rate, yo, let's get into some of these hot topics, yo.
Cool. All right, man, the MLB, which is, you know, a sad topic for us right now because of, you know, what happened on Friday. But the MLB is heating up. You know, I know the Tigers beat the Yankees in 5. The Cardinals beat our Phillies in 5. The Cardinals are up 2-1 right now on the Brewers, and the Rangers are up 3-1 on the Tigers. So, fellas, thoughts about these series? I know last week when we the last time we convened in the War Room, we spoke about how the Yankees went out game 5, all hands on deck. CC did end up pitching. Verlander wasn't available. He didn't pitch, but the Tigers still pulled it off 3-2. Is it something that the manager knew that we didn't know, or did he just get lucky on that one?
Yo, I was getting ready to cuss at Ryan Howard, but to go back to what you were saying, you're talking about the Tigers, the Tigers and the Yankees. It makes him look smart now. You know, at the end of the day, it does. But you know, I don't know. Like, it's one of them things where now you look like a genius because he was able to pitch, you know, right away, as opposed to having to wait if you brought him in. But man, you know, I still feel the same way. When the whole season's on the line, you gotta go for what you know, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, they're down 3-1 now. So they need to have all hands on deck from every game from here on out. And speaking of this particular series, well, we'll wait to talk about the ones that are going on now. But anybody else got anything with that Tigers Yankee series?
Let's talk about A-Rod, yo.
Yeah, A-Rod is not worth $33 million, which he made the last 2 years. How do you make $33 million year in and year out? And then in the clutch, you can't do anything 2 years in a row. Come on, man. He got to at least give like $10 million back.
Baseball is all about numbers. It's a numbers game. So they're paying that man on the monstrosity of numbers that he puts up in the regular season. But y'all right. You know, Thursday, he became the first player in MLB history to strike out 2 years in a row to end his team's season. And, you know, it almost happened to Ryan Howard, but he didn't strike out. We all saw what happened to him. He might as well just struck out.
He faked the injury.
He tore out.
Yeah, they say he tore out, but
Say he did. I don't believe that.
But yeah,
I don't believe.
Yeah, A-Rod, you know, he gets paid a lot of money. He puts up some crazy numbers, but it does seem like in the biggest moments. And think about it, fellas. Like, it's not like basketball where he could just take the ball and, like, you know, I'm the man, let me take the rock and let me do what I have to do. You know, in baseball, anybody can be the hero on any given day because it's a matter of where it falls in the lineup in the big moment.
Yo, but he gets so many opportunities.
Exactly. But it's what I'm saying. It's like the baseball gods want this stuff to be dramatic because it always happens to fall on the highest paid dudes.
So
2 years in a row, it fell on A-Rod and Philly. 2 years in a row, the last at bat fell onto Ryan Howard, and
what it all boils down to is they paid at the end of the day $11 million a strike.
Yo, we have a question in our chat room, which is pretty much what we're getting ready to talk about. And Monty wants to know: do we believe that Jimmy is done in Philly? Not me, but Jimmy Rollins, the other Jimmy.
when we get this money, Monty, Jimmy is done. Oh, you mean Rollins.
Considering, he wants that bread.
Jimmy Rollins, I think he's done in Philly. It kind of seemed like the Phillies have probably peaked on what they're going to do. His contract is up at the right time. And he said throughout the whole season and a little bit last season, he said when contract time comes around, he's not giving the Phillies a hometown discount. And I don't think the Phillies are going to pay Jimmy Rollins what it sounds like he wants to be paid. And I really don't blame him, even though he balled out in the playoffs. You know, he's not as consistent as he used to be. Go ahead, Austin, my bad.
What is he asking for, not specifically, but ballpark based on the market?
I really don't even know, but the fact that he said they're not getting a hometown discount, it sounds like he's going to ask for something that he's probably not going to get anywhere, so he may end up back in Philly just because he's not going to get the kind of money that he may be looking for.
He's 32, right?
I think he's older than that.
He's about 30. He's 32. He's 32.
Okay.
He's 32, so he's probably looking for, what, a 4 or 5 year deal. He's looking at A-Rod and Jeter, and probably trying to get that type of stuff.
What are you looking at them for?
He said, why are you looking at them?
I mean, he built a little bit of a case with his play in the short postseason that the Phillies had, but I don't know about that. But let's talk about that game, man. The game 5, Phillies lose at home to the Cardinals. You know, Doc Holliday pitched a great game, but Carpenter pitched an even greater game. So it basically was like first team to score wins this game. But what happens to the – I mean, I know Carpenter – I just said Carpenter was in good pitching, always beats good hitting. But why does the Phillies' bats just disappear like this and the biggest games, man. I don't understand it. Even when we won the World Series in 2008, the bats disappeared in that series. We stranded a whole lot of people on base. Tampa was just bad. In my opinion, Tampa was bad.
Yeah. Shout out to Willie Garland.
Yeah. Yo,
any opinions
shout out
on that?
Willie G. Yeah. I think that we have decent offense. Well, I'm going to say two things. One, I think the Cardinals signed Frank Gore to play in that game. And Eagles fans, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I think that – I don't know. I think that we can put up – we don't have clutch hitters with the exception of maybe
no
Jimmy.
Nobody. With the exception of no one. Chooch. Ruiz is
like Manny,
clutch,
Manny being
he
Manny,
do a
Manny,
damn thing in this.
Manny and Pujols, and I'm pulling Manny out, you know, because because Manny is one of the few people that I've seen in situations where he goes to the plate, you know, he's got to get a hit, like he has to, and dude pulls it out.
Man, that's a dirty hitter if you ask me.
Right now. Right now, Manny beating his wife in the clutch, so he came through for her. But
yeah, no doubt.
You're right. I mean, we just don't have players of that ilk because Pujols was balling in that series, and they just had some unlikely hitters.
I said going into this that I didn't want to play the Cardinals. Like, I was hoping the Phillies lost the last series, and you know that the Braves somehow got in. They had to end up playing the Braves because just didn't want to play the Cardinals because. Not that I thought this would happen, but I was afraid of them. When you have Albert Pujols on your team and you can throw Carpenter out there, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the Cardinals are up now.
Yeah, it was a bittersweet the last day of the season because, you want to throw it in your arch rival's face that we prevented you from going to the playoffs, but you're right. They would have been the easier matchup. And you may have been able to throw it in their face a little bit more had you put them out of the playoffs. So we could have waited one more game.
Monty said it right in the chat room. In the chat room, Monty said it right. He said, the Cardinals do everything well the Phillies don't do. and that's pretty much what happened because it's like.
And they had unlikely heroes stepping up night after night. Freeze killed us that
honestly,
one night.
That's what it takes to win a championship. When you watch teams that win a championship, it's always somebody stepping up. Like one night is somebody, and one night is somebody else. It always seems to go that way for the team that wins the whole thing. Not saying I think they're gonna, go through and win the whole thing, but it wouldn't shock me considering the way they're playing right now.
Well, you know that Jimmy, that really what you're saying is so true. It's the antithesis of the dream team phenomena. It's like not having all of these superstar players who are acclaimed and renowned for certain things. But you can get quality production from good players off your bench. People that you may not even be familiar with, but they're good. They're quality players, well coached, and they don't make mistakes.
Right.
Come on, man. We talk about the Eagles next hour, man. What you talking about?
And if anybody wants to call in, talk about any of this stuff, that number is 323-410-0012. Last question about that series, because I don't really want to talk about it. I actually went to see the movie Moneyball the day after, and I was kind of it was a really good movie. I was a little skeptical about seeing it because I didn't want anything to do with baseball after Friday night. But but it was a good movie. Ryan Howard, so he doesn't join A-Rod with the strikeout thing 2 years in a row, but that attempt that he did make was pretty pitiful. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard this opinion from a lot of people. Do you guys think that he was faking the little injury? Just,
I think he's McNabb, brother. I think he's in the McNabb.
Y'all think he was faking that?
No, I don't think he was faking
that.
They said he had a sore Achilles anyway, and he was, getting treatment for it. Prior, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's
the setup, Kill.
They actually said
like
his start to next season is in jeopardy already. So who knows? I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't take it that far for him to miss games next year because of it if he's faking. But I don't know, man. It's, like you said, in clutch situations, he nor not, you know, not too many of the other Phillies, they just seem not to come through. We had the pitching. I mean, Doc gave up one run. And a game of that magnitude is not much more to
you
ask for.
You gotta get run support, man.
Yeah,
where is
it's
that?
Not
yo,
much
I'm
you
getting
can
pissed
ask
right
for.
Now,
he gave
man.
Up one damn run.
Come on, man. One, yo. Yo, move on, man, because I'm getting angry right now, man. I want to kick Ryan Howard in his Achilles.
Yeah.
One run.
That's
hey,
all
yo.
We got. Man? One goddamn hit. You can't say goddamn on the air. Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Shout out to you. All right, but listen.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo, I was going to say, Ryan Howard, you know, he made like $22 million this year. And then Alex Rodriguez made $33 million, and these guys don't come through in the clutch. But then you got guys like Nelson Cruz for the Rangers, who's hitting grand slams and three-run homers. And, yo, homie made $3 million this year, $3.9 million.
Yeah. Speaking of that, they had the same situation in two games of this series where the game was, like, tied 3-3. And then Nelson Cruz in the 11th inning, you know, ends the game with a crazy shot. Shout
he
out
got
to Nelson Cruz.
Like Nelson Cruz. Like, Nelson Cruz couldn't even get in the club a freak and nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, that's a really good series, though. Once you know, Philly fans and Yankee fans, hopefully, you know, you've gotten over the pain of the weekend and actually watched some of these games, especially the Detroit and Texas series. It's a hell of a series, man. I mean, it's 3-1 right now, but it's exciting. And every
I'm
game,
Detroit, right? Detroit, we just got updated on our Facebook page. Kevin Lang said Detroit is smacking him around now, 6-2. So Detroit,
oh, they got
like,
Verlander
you know,
on the mound tonight. So best
yeah.
hand on deck. Best hand
that's
on deck
probably,
tonight.
I ain't gonna see no baseball until next spring. Hurt.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you. So let's move on from that for everybody in here to start weeping or something. It's NBA lockout. It's just gotten real. Y'all know back on, Tuesday, the NBA, because remember we said last week, if they didn't have a deal by Monday, they were going to start canceling games. And David Stern, true to his word, has canceled the first 2 weeks of the season. At this point, they're saying that the union and the team owners are going to meet with a federal mediator. Does anybody here think that's going to do anything?
No.
I think it will only work if they send Ronnie Terry off and Boris Diaw to negotiate on behalf of the players.
And they're just going to give in like, okay, that's enough. We let y'all know in a minute what we're talking about with that. But, I don't know about the whole thing with the mediator. That never really seems to work. It kind of seems to prolong things. These type of labor negotiations really don't get done until both sides decide to come to the table and really hash things out. It seems like a lot of the negotiations in the NBA labor talks are getting really contentious. We talked about last week how Dwayne Wade was screaming at the commissioner because he pointed at him. He put his hand. I don't know. But it just seemed like everything gets personal here.
Two things that I've noticed. First of all, separation of church and state. Yeah, sports is our church. So the state doesn't need to get involved. As you said, it becomes long and drawn out, and then you get the involvement of people that have no business even paying attention to this outside of them being fans like we are. So I think that that's the wrong direction. Number two, as I pointed out last week when we were speaking about this, they're really not that far apart on a dollar basis.
I heard it got even closer.
Really?
I heard it might be like $2.5 billion at this point.
Oh, you said it got.
Yeah, I heard it got even closer, but they still, you know.
Right, but now the issue becomes a matter of respect because neither side respects the other. So, you know what I'm saying? When you don't have respect as a man, we could be arguing over $2. I don't respect you, so.
It's the principle. of the whole
It becomes the principal. You and I might have a problem over $10 million and we can get it solved. But me and this other person have a problem over $2. We can't get it solved because I just want to knock you out.
Yo. Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of it because emotions get involved. And, you know, this thing called male pride that kind of gets in the way of progress a lot of times.
Right.
It's crazy because I guess because football's going on, you really don't feel it yet. But, I mean, I'm already pissed now because they don't have the rookies on a new 2K12 game. It's all based upon a lockout. So I'm already pissed. Like, yo,
I got a question.
You messing with my video games.
I got a question for y'all. How much damage is this doing, has it done, and will it do if it continues with fan perception and fan reception of the league?
I think it just reinforces what a lot of fans already think. You know, like, you know, they just look at a lot of these sports leagues, NBA being one of the front runners, they just look at it as, you know, a bunch of greedy owners, greedy players. And you know how they threw around that term in the football lockout, you know, millionaires versus billionaires. Well, that's more true in this case because NBA players get paid way more than NFL players, you know, on an average. So, you know, fans are just looking at it that way. Me personally, you know, I love basketball. I love NBA basketball. I mean, you guys know how I feel about basketball. But with the product that they put out, what they have been putting out like the last 10 years or so in the regular season, I really wouldn't mind if they got this done in a few weeks and had to go to like a 55 game season like they did back in 99, because then the games all
renewable.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have that 82 game marathon. The games mean more. They're playing back in 99, they were playing, you know how you can't play more than a back to back in a week. They were playing like three games back to back to back. And it was just more exciting because it was like a sprint to the finish. So I think
Let me ask you guys a question.
Go ahead.
The biggest question is, if this lockout goes on, what will this do for Kim Kardashian's marriage?
No, they need that. They need those stands. They need to be sitting front row in Jersey with Jay-Z
they can't
and them.
Get that. I mean, that's what the real issue is going to be.
Because, you know, they
and the funny thing is, Even though she makes more money than him, I bet you she don't spend a dime. And if he ain't getting his game checks,
yeah, and she can't go sit courtside and get on the camera. Like, he messing up her money.
Right.
Yeah. All
right. So here's how some of the players are dealing with the whole lockout situation. Now, I know you guys heard that LeBron sent Clayton, little ugly boy from the NFL, dude. What's his first name?
John Clayton.
He sent John Clayton a text the other night, like hours after the commissioner announced that the first 2 weeks of the season will be canceled. And mind you, remember 2 weeks ago LeBron was in pads practicing with his high school team. So he sends this to John Clayton. He said, "When is the deadline for a team to sign a free agent?" John Clayton later responded to him that there's no deadline for teams to sign free agents. And then LeBron replied, "All good, thanks, Clayton."
Yo, it
so you know that led to all the speculation and all the four-letter Willie Eatery, you know, doing specials and stories on what if LeBron played football and this and that. And a lot of people seem to think that he would be successful in the league as like a tight end or something like that. Do you guys think that it? First of all, we know he's not serious, but if there was a chance that he was serious, do you guys think that he could just step in to football not having played since high school and be successful?
Nah, not at all.
I mean,
I
he's one of the best athletes in the world.
The first time that Ray Lewis introduced himself to that human being, that young man would be throwing up placenta and headed for the stands. He don't like no type of pain or pressure. And I think physically, he's talented enough, but the mind state and mind frame of a football player, plus the timing and chemistry you got to develop to function as a part of that well-oiled machine, nah.
Yo, I think it's funny because I'm more worried about
all athletes feel that their skill set and athletic ability is transferable. Remember, Brandon Marshall was like, "Yo, I'm going to the league."
Yeah. So my opinion on that is, if I'm playing a particular sport and somebody just says that about my sport, I'm going to feel real disrespected because I put in a whole lot of hard work all my life to get to this level, and cats just think that they can just – but he's one of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yo,
so,
I'm more afraid of, like, somebody like Dante Robinson. You know, he'd be head-hunting. Ron Brown come across the middle. But another thing is this, though. Wouldn't it be interesting if he, like, went and played for Cleveland? He can get right back in their good graces. They would forgive him, like, yesterday. He wouldn't play for the Browns. But I also think it's funny that LeBron has the ability to create this kind of attention just with a text message. And,
exactly.
You know, God knows who to give the power to, because if I had that power, I would be drawn.
Well, I got a follow-up.
I
got a follow-up to
rumors.
What Jimmy just said, but I'm going to let Kill say whatever he wants.
All kinds of rumors and getting all kinds of people in trouble.
Yeah, I actually think because of his, his 40 times probably around 4-4, and, obviously his moving ability, put him on the edge and let him go, go deep, kind of like Calvin Johnson.
Fade route.
And, fade route. So probably he would probably be like Randy Moss and not come across the middle. And then the only thing is, in the fourth quarter, if they throw it to him, would he come through in the clutch? Like, I wonder if they'll be trying to throw it to him.
Yeah.
Devin, what you going to say?
That's crazy. But thinking about it, though, I don't know. Even stepping in right now, LeBron could be a red zone beast, yo. You get inside the five and you just want to throw up a fade route. I don't know.
I'm not. I know he has the athleticism. I don't question that. He has the athleticism to do damn near anything he wants in the world involving athletics. But the mind state, first of all, you have defensive coordinators that would prove a point. Oh, you think you can? Yeah, really? Troy. We want you 15 yards back and over the top of that route. So when that comes through, separate him from the ball.
Well, like I said, if I'm a coach, I'm not putting LeBron into the game until we're inside the 10. But anyway, what Jimmy said earlier, he said he will probably get a shot just because he's LeBron. Well, late Tuesday night, Pete Carroll sent LeBron the following text. Hey, at King James, are you aware of what the league's rookie minimum is? LeBron responded to him saying, yeah, more than what I'm making now, coach, which is funny because people could take that as an insult because we know he makes way more off the court than he makes on the court, but he's talking about, lockout, so he's not making anything right now. So the conversation continued, and Pete Carroll asked him, he said, I kind of think of you as a touchdown maker, but is it true that you think of yourself as a pass rusher? LeBron responded, TD maker for sure. So Wednesday morning, Pete Carroll is still on his noodle, and he starts the conversation back up. And he gave LeBron a suggestion that he should go work out at the University of Miami football facility. And then he went even farther. He sent LeBron a photo of a custom-made number one Seahawks jersey with LeBron stitched across the back. And LeBron later on responded, nice, looks great. I don't think Pete Carroll is playing.
We know Pete Carroll. I remember Pete Carroll, USC, when he wanted a player, he knew what to do.
Exactly, and he's a marketing-type dude. He'd do it for the attention, to just get more buzz around the Seahawks. He likes attention. I don't think he's playing. He already told him to go down to the U weight room. And
he's not playing.
I don't think he's playing. I know LeBron isn't going to go through with it, but Pete Carroll's not playing.
Because your man is a noodle. Your man Pete is a noodle, and it's not about winning games. It's about drawing attention. So he's with
it. So that's what LeBron has going on with the lockout. Amari Stoudemire, on the other hand, says the players, if this lockout goes on for like a year, the players should just start their own league. Anybody got any comments to Amari for that?
Shut up. You're dumb.
Not total response. Matter of fact, they can just run up Augustine Lee.
I'm sure there's a whole lot of people out there who's probably thinking, what's wrong with that? That's what they should do, this and that. Yeah.
Starting a league is that easy. All I'm going to say, let me retract my rude statement and say, Amari, come holler at the War Room and Money Making Mitch, and we'll work something out.
Wasn't talking about a league. We were just talking about being more organized with the things that they're doing in the off season as far as going around playing games. Like, they're probably taking that and getting the big head with it. They're selling out these little 3,000 and 4,000 seat arenas. You know, that's not going to fly for that long because people are going to want to see an organized professional basketball league.
Listen, 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 Dev. The fact of the matter is the proceeds from those are going to charity. The minute they try and do a league and they see they're only getting 4,000 people, they're going to shut that down quick.
Whose money are they going to use to start? Does he really think he's going to get these NBA players to pool in their money to start a league? Come on, man. Y'all can just go play in pro-ams in different cities.
Yo, on our Facebook page, Alonzo said he should play tight end for the Browns, but without a chin strap. You don't want nothing to aid him in choking.
Damn. All right, but yeah, to Amari's comments, man. I say Amari.
In our chat room, Monty 215 says Amari is proof that people are sometimes as dumb as they look.
Like, and how quickly does he think that they could just assemble a league? Have them dudes be retired by the time they get this league up
and
running.
Those who don't know, Amari Stoudemire had an interview this week in which he said that Ronnie Cherryhoff. And what's Kiel's boy's name?
Boris Diaw.
Wait, hold on, real quick. Along with being stinky, Akil at one point said that Boris was the top 15 player in the league. Go ahead, continue.
No, I said top five all around player.
I'm not gonna comment on Akil Bayon's assessment of Boris Diaw. But Amari Stoudemire said that Boris Diaw and Ronnie Cherryhoff are the smelliest dudes in the league, and that they both smell like trash truck juice. Like, so you know that is why I said they should go negotiate for the players, and they probably get this deal. Shout out to all our fans in Europe because you know they both are European players. I'm not saying anything by that, but you know, so shout out to our fans in Europe.
Yo, I love our European fans because. Y'all think we might just be saying this, but check our analytics. We got European fans. But I'm going to say, you know, I've been to Europe several times, and the hoagie hits you as soon as you deplane and you reach the gate. The airport smells like lack of deodorant.
Yo, well, we did have European fans until then.
I'm saying, but listen, it's a fact.
Like fried onions.
It's a fact. That, you know, their culture a lot of times is against wearing deodorant. So it's not like we're lying. And if you don't wear deodorant, certain things are going to happen. But we still love y'all. All the people.
Dev said the airport in Europe smell like fried onions.
Listen, delusional.
They smell like raw onions. I can take fried onions.
People work.
They taste like raw onions. I mean, I said taste like. That's nasty. All right, but look, we're gonna move on real quick. But real quick, we just wanted to give a shout out to the Minnesota Lynx. They swept Atlanta to become the WNBA champs. Yeah, I know we didn't talk about anything leading up to that, and we apologize, but you know, WNBA cut the check, and we talk about you every week. All right, I want to ask you fellas. And I'm going to try
real
and
quick,
ask
real
everybody.
Quick, Dev, real quick, Dev. Does Maya Moore play for them?
Yeah.
She does. She's a winner.
Yo, why she win so much? That's all I want to know. Quick, but why she win so much? Why she just win everywhere?
Beastmaster.
Monty 215.
Mel,
he said Negro International is greater than Jim Steaks on a Friday night. Yo, and that's funny because Heathrow was like the worst one I've been to. I think that like it just hit you, it just wafted at you as soon as you walked off the plane. Like damn. But yeah, Maya Moore, she's a winner.
Yeah, Maya Moore just wins. Like that's crazy. She just come right into the WNBA, win a chip. Come on, man.
Yeah. All right, but this next question that I'm gonna ask you guys. And everybody in the chat room, everybody on Facebook and Twitter, people who are fans of the teams in Philadelphia and New York, I'm going to need y'all to try to be as objective as possible when you're answering this question, and the same to the fellas here on the radio. Who had the worst sports weekend this past weekend? New York or Philadelphia? And before y'all answer, let me tell you everything that happened this weekend. On Thursday, the Yankees lose in the divisional series, Game 5, to the Tigers at home, 3-2. Friday, the Phillies lose in the divisional series in Game 5 to the Cardinals at home, 1-0. Sunday, the Dream Team dropped another one, fourth in a row, 31-24 to the Bills in Buffalo. Then the Giants promptly went on to lose 36-25 to the Seahawks, whose starting quarterback is Tar Garbage Jackson, to drop them to 3-2 on the season. Then the Jets lost 30-21 to the Patriots in Foxborough to drop them to 2-3 on the season. So
go
for it, fellas. Who had the worst weekend? Philadelphia fans or New York fans?
New York,
yeah, I think it might be New York. They had two football teams lose. And not only that, the Giants were, like, home, weren't they? They lost at home to Seattle, who traveled across the country with Pete Carroll into garbage.
Across the country, like, to beat their ass.
And that's not supposed to happen. Like, normally, the teams that travel from the Pacific time zone to the Eastern time zone, they lose a large number of those games.
They were playing at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning on their time. And not only that, the Giants were a home favorite. Like, yo, the Giants might be, like, I can't pinpoint them. One week they look like, you know, they can be a pretty good team. The next week you're like, yo, is this the same team I just watched play?
All right.
Austin thinking to go to the chip.
Yeah, I was tripping. But I I think New York, because, you know, you told us to keep it funky, Brother Death. So I'm going to keep it funky. I mean, as a Philadelphia fan, we're kind of used to disappointment. We're hardened to it. But New York fans have this unrealistic perception of their sports teams as being dynasties or being great. Like, see the way they talk about the Knicks, for example. The Knicks haven't won anything, no matter how many big words Clyde Frazier uses on the telecast. They're not winning.
The Knicks are back.
The Knicks are back. Then you've got the Jets. The Jets, they speak about the Jets as if their dynasty has already begun. Yo, your quarterback is the equivalent of Alex Smith's practice backup. You got the Giants. They won one, and they harangue the Manning that runs that team, and he's underrated, but they've only won one. Don't get it twisted. So they're no dynasty. So then that leaves us with the Mets. The Mets haven't won anything.
But the Mets ain't
got Yankees.
No, but listen, let me put my spin on it. Like I said, I'm trying to stay totally objective, trying not to get my feelings up in it. But I think Philadelphians had a worse sports weekend. This is why. The Phillies losing in the divisional series, Game 5, at home. They went into the playoffs with a franchise record, 102 wins. Even before they got the 102 wins, because of the four aces that we have on the mound, they were the odds-on favorite from spring training by all of the experts to win the World Series. So that's where you have the Phillies. Then you go to the Eagles. You go to the Dream Team. Got all of these people in the offseason. They were the odds-on favorites by many people to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl and probably win it. They just dropped their fourth straight game. Three of the four games that they just dropped were all winnable games. Like, you can say what you want about the Buffalo Bills and their record right now, but they're still the Buffalo Bills to me. Until they prove, you know, that they're this good and they make the playoffs and all that, they're still the Buffalo Bills. I look at them like, you know, how Houston is supposed to make that move the last 5 years, and Houston still hasn't been in the playoffs yet, and this might be their best chance because Indy is on life support right now. But I just think Philadelphia had so much, and I'm not taking anything away from them because the Yankees were the best team in the American League. And they were supposed to win. But think about it. The Giants Their loss.
Yo, the Yankees.
It's still
the Yankees supposed to win every year. The Yankees supposed to win right now next year.
The Giants, their loss, even though it was to a team they shouldn't have lost to, it only drops them to 3-2. And even though it was a trashy 7-9 season last year, that was a playoff team last year, Seattle, and they advanced to the second round.
They
weren't
a playoff team.
They were garbage. They weren't a playoff-worthy team, but they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can say what you want about losing to the Seahawks. We lost to the Buffalo Bills. Like, I don't care what their record is. I'm going to keep telling y'all that.
No, I understand you don't care what their record is, but, you know, what's that old thing that Bill Parcells says? You're as good as your record says you are. And the thing is,
I don't believe that.
It's like, I get what you're saying, but, the Yankees are supposed to win every year. And they had two football teams go down. The Jets, who were supposed to be, like, you know, a good team as well, who are now under 500.
That's in their minds they're supposed to win every year. Phillies were an odds-on favorite to win this year. Like, most of the experts didn't even pick the Yankees to win that division. So
no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. For me, it's like I'm still upset about the Phillies loss. But, it's just like I don't know. When you say be objective, I think New York probably had the worst weekend.
The biggest thing about the Jets dropped the 2-3 with their loss to the Patriots. But did anybody think they were going to beat the Patriots?
No. But with the Giants beat the Seahawks, and I've never been sold on the Seahawks. I don't care who's coaching. They got to garbage Jackson at quarterback. I've actually
got hurt
a little
in the third quarter, and
so
Whitehurst
Charlie Whitehurst comes in.
Yeah.
So you lost to Tavares' backup, is what you're telling me. Somebody that can't beat Tavares out for a job. Okay.
Good point. I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills. I'm looking at film on the Bills, and slowly but surely, I'm kind of becoming a believer because the quarterback play is good, very good. The running back play is very good. Their
line
blocked.
He didn't look all that good this week, for real. He didn't look all that good.
Nah, they were playing. It pains me to say this, but were they playing down their competition? Ooh, man.
Yo, he didn't have to look good this week. Fred Jackson was housing cats.
Yo, Fred came in and became a pop. They got 4 turnovers off us, maybe 5.
5 turnovers.
Yeah,
you know
I couldn't
what I'm saying?
Come
like, like, the Bills should have got blown out. Atlanta should have gotten blown out. Like, this team, even like they're just flawed, more so, in my opinion, mentally than physically. I think this team is just the dumbest team we've probably ever seen in Philadelphia, garbage teams included.
Well, I guess it can go either way. Like, on our Facebook page, Monica says Philly had the worst weekend because the teams were supposed to win, and also that the airport in Munich is horrible. And Kevin says New York had the worst week. And he agrees that the airport in Munich stinks as well. So, I mean, those are a couple comments. So, it's going both ways. Some people say New York, some say Philly, and everybody's saying that the airports in Germany smell. But, I mean, that's what's going on our Facebook page.
Airport. That's how the airport going to smell when everybody got wah-wah hoagies under their arms.
Buffalo.
Now, Rand says that C.J. Spiller ran over Nnamdi. So, you know, I guess that's about my question again, like I asked you guys last week. About Nnamdi. What do you think about Nnamdi thus far?
Wrong system.
I really don't think that we paid him to tackle. I mean, I would like him to make the tackles when they come his way.
Right.
Funny thing is,
that's
with
not
the Raiders,
what I
he was a
him
hell
on
of a tackler. With the Raiders, he was a hell of a tackler. Like, he used to come up and lay backs out. Like, he was that dude.
I didn't see all that.
I was about to say,
all
I don't
that.
Really remember that. But
I did. Because, look, when they played the Broncos,
it was
like,
he's a decent tackler. You can't use Bronco footage, Jimmy. You got to look at his whole body of work. That man's been
Yo, Al Davis probably paid him extra money against
too.
The Broncos.
And Phillip Rivers, I've watched the Chargers games, too, because Phillip Rivers is my fantasy quarterback in my keeper league. But he used to make a lot of tackles coming out of the secondary. He was, wasn't that bad of a tackler. But why are we talking about Nnamdi tackling? The question was, overall, do you think that he's having a good season? You said the wrong system. And
wrong,
what is
definitely
your,
the wrong
system. What is your opinion of overall thus far?
He's not having a good season, but I'm not a part of that contingency that's saying Nnamdi's a bust.
I'm not calling him a bust either.
My only opinion about Nnamdi is he's no Revis. Take that how
then
you
again,
meant.
Who,
no Revis.
Who is it? Like, you know, Revis, at this point, I guess he's the best corner by far. I mean, I don't know who else is up there with him.
Yeah.
But
so I see, Jim, where this conversation is going, so we might as well just go ahead and take it there, my brother.
No doubt. I don't want to start with the Eagles, but we did have a comment in terms of what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
Naran says that he believes that Nnamdi is underperforming for his level of play, and he used to be able to adjust to the zone. There's really no excuse for how he's playing. I mean, you know, and it could be transition.
I didn't see him playing too much zone in Oakland, but yeah, no, I'm not.
I never saw him play zone in Oakland.
He's definitely
underperforming.
Yeah, he's definitely underperforming, but I'm just not ready. And I don't think Naran's saying this either, but I'm not ready to call him.
Naran said it's no excuse. He should be playing better. That's what he's saying.
Oh yeah,
but
if you get paid that much, you should be able to play a man, a zone.
Man, a zone.
Money,
yeah, I agree.
You should be able to play whatever they put you in. A wide nine, a wide 19.
I'll even go a step further and throw his real weakness out there that most people, casual fans,
what?
Don't really watch or know.
That he was a horrible actor in 8 Mile.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, my fault.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
The ball doesn't follow the best receiver. He stays only exclusively on the left side.
Sometimes it doesn't look like he even know where he's supposed to be lined up.
Right.
I've seen him several times this season
out of position.
Telling Nnamdi, like, get the hell over there. He's, like, asking, like, what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what's going on. But
yo, I know when he was with the Raiders, he was a beast. And speaking of the Raiders, because my segue game is nice, Al Davis passed away at 82, and the Raiders won an emotional game after his death. So, guys, what are your thoughts on Al Davis and his legacy?
Al Davis been dead.
Love him or hate him. Al Davis is a huge part of the NFL. I mean, he's done it all. Coach, own, commissioner. He does all kinds of stuff. He did all kinds of stuff in football. Lately, you know, he's getting a little older, and he still thought that the same philosophies from the 60s, 70s, 80s would still work for the Raiders, and they really haven't worked. The players seem to love him, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like Jimmy said, it was a real emotional game, real emotional press conference. The players seem to love playing for him. I mean, he's divvying out a lot of paper, too. I'm about to say, he's giving out a lot of paper, too, and he's drafting cats who probably wouldn't otherwise get drafted. Shout out to Darius Hayward Bay. It's a big loss for the NFL.
First round.
Love him or hate him, it's a big loss for the NFL. But
he's made way more contributions
than Jarrell.
I didn't
like the way they showed him on the cameras the last few years with the bruises on his face and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to see Al like that.
Yo, it's like, I used to joke that it was like Weekend at Bernie's, where Al Davis died about a decade ago and they would just roll him out there. And I used to make jokes about that, right? But I was dead serious. Anyway, I think that he had a tremendous impact on the NFL as we know it. And this is coming from a Raider hater because I hate everything about the Raiders. But there's no denying what he has brought to the game. And, you know, this guy was a general manager, a coach, an owner. I mean, he helped, like, more people in the black community than a lot of African-Americans themselves by giving some of these monkey jobs. And he also hired the first black head coach. He hired the first Latino coach. And he's the first person to make a woman a general manager of an NFL team. Like, so he broke down a lot of barriers. So shout out to him for that, because a lot of people forget about that. He hired the first African-American head coach, and we know how hard it is for brothers to get jobs in the league.
They should call that the Al Davis rule when they got to interview cats. If anybody want to call in and talk some NFL, that number again is 323-410-0012. We also starting to get the chat room popping just a little bit. Well, it was, and then a bunch of people just signed back off. We must be boring tonight.
Yeah. Naran said, by the way, that he's still going in on Nnamdi. He said, if you watch the film, he was covering Vic Cruz straight up, and he cooked Nnamdi.
he put him in the deep fryer.
Yeah, he did. He definitely baked him.
put him in a wok.
Rotisserie oven. He rotisserie oven that ball.
And then salsa danced on his ass in the end zone. Well, did the Macarena. That was embarrassing.
Yo, another quick question is about y'all man, Derek Mason. He got traded to Houston for like a bag of chips and like a 2-liter soda. And they said that he got traded just basically for non-performance. He was like working out with the practice squad a couple weeks ago, and they got rid of him. But what are your thoughts on Derek Mason? Is it time for him to give it up?
13 receptions in 5 games, but I don't think him getting traded had anything to do with underperformance, because there were rumors that the 3 wide receivers, Mason, Plaxico, and Santonio, that they all went to Rex Ryan after the game saying that Lil Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, wasn't getting them involved in the offense enough. Rex Ryan is denying that these conversations ever took place, but, you know, further rumors coming out of New York, because, you know, I follow a couple of their beat writers on Twitter, they were saying that he probably definitely got traded because of the dissension. I mean, think about it. If those 3 guys did come and have something to say, which one?
You got to get rid of somebody. Yeah, you ain't getting rid of.
Yeah.
Get rid of the old head. They're getting a 7th round conditional draft pick for him. So,
that person is not going to make the team. But what this all boils down to is Mark Sanchez is garbage. And,
I laugh, but I don't totally disagree with you. Like, I don't think
he's garbage.
Yo,
and
it's funny because it's like this. I'm still reserving judgment. I don't want to call him garbage yet, because when it would come, it takes time to prove to me that you're good, but it also takes time to me to prove that you're garbage. And he's so young that I'm not ready to call him garbage yet.
You're right. We can't put the book out on his career. I can say that he's garbage so far.
He's garbage right now.
Speaking of garbage quarterbacks, and Narena brought it up, Alex Smith is balling right now. We would have sued a book on him at the beginning of this season.
I never said Alex was garbage.
If y'all go back to the what I actually said was, for some reason, I always hold out hope and faith that this dude is going to finally get good. So, for some reason, when everybody else went down the garbage, path, for some reason I always held out faith for the dude. I'm not taking credit for him balling now because, I still didn't see that – I didn't foresee that this was going to happen.
But you know what? I was just never ready
to call him garbage because he always showed flashes. You know?
Exactly.
Go ahead, Jim.
I said no matter what he does, he has one problem. And that problem is he was picked ahead of one Aaron Rodgers, and that's going to be with him the rest of his career. No matter what he does, they're going to say, you were picked ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to take that out on the rest of the NFL for the rest of his
career. Yo, he got to win like 4 Super Bowls to get out from underneath that. But let me say this about Alex. There's two critical differences between him and the Sanchez situation. Sanchez is in his 3rd season right now. And has had consistency. He's had the same coach, same staff, some small changes. Alex Smith has lived in turmoil for 6 years. Turmoil. Trying to relearn systems when
true.
He already was, huh?
Yeah, no, I said true. You definitely made
when he was already behind the 8-ball. So now you're trying to learn how to play quarterback in the NFL. You're already behind the 8-ball, and along comes another system. Dude's been in 4, maybe 5 different systems and has never had any consistency. And then let's talk about the line. Next to the Texans in front of David Garr and what I'm seeing in Chicago now, the Niners line is really, really bad. So you combine those things, and when would
except
he have had an opportunity?
Except for against the wide 9.
Yo, but they dominated that wide 9. Yo, here's the thing, though. It's a lot of different variables because, he also didn't have the pressure that Sanchez had. Sanchez was thrown right into the mix where he had to compete for a chip, and his coach is out there running his mouth talking about them winning a chip when you know, Alex Smith didn't have any pressure to win in San Francisco. Like, you know,
yo,
so
Jimmy,
you add that
I feel you, but I guarantee you that the pressure of getting your head sat on by fat men versus the pressure of hearing things is a little different. Yo, Alex Smith
and
used
also,
to be back there
also,
running for his life.
Just not to cut you off, but also the Jets now, they're having injuries on their offensive line, so they're having trouble with the offensive line too, which is why they're losing because they can't run down people's throats the way they've been doing. So
good point. Good point.
But we'll see what happens. Though, like I said, it takes a lot to make me a believer, but also I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not ready to call him a complete bum yet. But this started with us talking about Derek Mason. I can't blame them for Derek Mason. It sounds like it may have been dissension, but
Derek Mason is 37. He's headed into his middle age years. He's only got a few months left to play football. Dude ain't trying to run with no bum. That's all it boils down. He's not trying to run with no bum. I don't have time for y'all to find out whether this this mariachi hero at quarterback is going to be good or not. Yo,
damn.
Get me on a squad that's going to win
mariachi.
That.
A mariachi hero? Why
are
you going there on the ball like that?
Yo, he's garbage.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Let me get you guys' opinion on this. I'm going to give my opinion. Everybody knows I'm a Broncos fan. And Tim Tebow came in the game and played in Denver, and now he's going to be the starter. So I want to get you guys' opinion on Tim Tebow. Hey, yo, come on, man. Cut it out, man.
This pitch really unfair. That's my team. This is my quarterback.
So,
that's for Cal Horton, man. That's
give,
not fair,
give me
man.
Your, give me your opinion of the move to get rid of Kyle Orton and go with Tim Tebow.
I'm like all over the place with this one. I have different opinions. It depends on who I'm talking to. Okay, you have that one contingency out there who's saying Orton deserves more. Orton deserves a shot. What the
Orton
hell
deserves,
has Kyle Orton done to deserve anything? That's what I say to those people. Then you got the people that's all over Tim Tebow's job. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, basically, from everything I've heard from Broncos camp is that Brady Quinn was playing better than both of the dudes, so he probably should have been next up. But then you got the fans who are clamoring for him. This is what I would say to the coaches. Like, okay, it's good to make the move because I agree with Jimmy. At this point, you see what you got with the dude. I just hope y'all didn't make the move from the pressure and the billboards and all the fans and the signs in the stadium and all that kind of stuff. That's what I say to those cats. Then you got the cats out there who's saying that Tim Tebow is garbage and all that kind of stuff. How the hell do you know? Tim Tebow hasn't even played yet to be considered garbage, but a lot of that is, you know, that's like BP talk. They, you know, Tim Tebow get all this praise, and then everybody was crapping on Cam Newton. And when the conversation goes there, then you see why they're really saying that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got
Austin,
different
before,
opinions for everybody out there.
Before Austin poops on my squad, let me give you my opinion. I agree with you. Like, people always say Kyle Orton deserves a chance. I don't know what Kyle Orton has ever done to deserve anything, because coming into the week, he was leading the NFL on picks. He started that game off horrible. In his last, like, 14 games, he's won, like, four. You know, he's, like, hasn't really done anything.
Real quick.
Yo.
I think he played well enough in Chicago and didn't get the props that he deserved to deserve another shot in the league. Denver gave him his shot. He played like some shot. So there's no more deserving for Kyle Orton. Like, holla.
Yeah,
he's my fantasy backup. I can't even use the dude's trade bait no more.
Yo, I was going to bring this up, and I ran board up in chat room first. Brady Quinn is too much of a boo lover to be worrying about any of this kind of stuff. I don't know if you guys know about
boo
Brady
loving.
Quinn.
Yeah, he pop by
boo loving.
He be boo loving them chicks. But even beyond that, here's my thing. Tim Tebow was listed as number two on the depth chart coming into the game, so I can see giving him a shot. And the thing is, Tebow was a first-round draft pick, but so was Quinn, I believe. But I say you give him a shot. If he fails, all right, worst case, Andrew Luck. I mean, grab another quarterback.
Yeah. No, it's definitely what you said. Because even with both first-round picks, Tebow was Denver's first-round pick.
Exactly.
I mean,
give him a chance to fail. Because the one thing you can say about Tim Tebow, he may not put up crazy numbers, but if you watch the games when he plays, like the three play last year and watch him play this year, the team plays different when he's in there, even the defense.
You know what I mean? Like, he may not have the form and all that, but the team has a certain energy. Now, I don't know
seeing
if
a big man shot put. Seeing a big man shot put is inspiring.
Hey, look, you can say what you want to say, but the team plays different when he's in the game.
Yo, they know they got to compensate. Yo,
hey, whatever
before
it may be, but.
Before I get into my thoughts and opinion on one Mr. Tim Tebow, shout out to a friend of the War Room, Chris Domingo. He said that he thinks Jesus Christ himself has better footwork than backup Jesus.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't
his footwork is questionable. I'll give you that.
He don't have footwork, and he don't have mechanics,
Tim Tebow is a winner, man. Then Chris went on to say,
when they scored and he went off the sideline slapping hands and everything, dudes was responding to him. They was hyped, like chest bumping.
But that's what I'm saying, Dev. You see what I'm saying? Even the defense got out there and played better. Once I don't think the team likes Kyle Orton. I think that might be what it is. Like, yo, we want this dude to play.
Tebow 3:16 states that thou shalt not have thine feet set or even have thy feet or upon the ground of the land when throwing the football. Yo, shout out to Chris Domingo. I've come to the conclusion that it's not Tim Tebow that I hate. What I hate is both factions, the polar opposites. I hate the rabid middle America Tebow supporters. I can't stand them. And then I also hate BPs who hate on him for no reason and won't give him a chance. So I hate both polar opposites of the spectrum. Now, Tim, I do realize that he's a great leader. I do realize that he has intangibles. And I do realize that he may even lead y'all to some wins. I feel that. But his brand of football and what I believe his peak is, his ceiling for growth, he will never be more than a mediocre quarterback. I just don't see.
I'm marking it down. I'm
not saying that out of hate. I don't dislike him because when you get both sides out of your ear and you leave them alone,
just in case
you hear, you see the hunger.
3 years.
You see the hunger. You see the hunger. You see what he wants to be, and you're right. His teammates are responsive. He has all the intangibles. You want to be in the foxhole with Tim Tebow. Pause. I just don't think that he'll ever. I just don't think that he'll ever develop. You know the nuances of the game. I just don't know.
Who do you think has a better chance? Tim Tebow or Sanchez?
I don't think Sanchez has. Sanchez may be a better pure quarterback and passer than Tebow, I don't think Sanchez has the intangibles. He's not going to run. Tebow has
so basically, you're saying if you can combine them two, you have a good quarterback.
You have a good quarterback.
Yeah, you can combine maybe.
Sanchez, you can break his will during a game. You can break his spirit.
My thing is, Tebow, in a way, he has his strategy, personal strategy towards the game of football is similar to Michael Vick's. But he don't have Mike Vick athleticism. And he going to get his body broken in half, leaving that pocket like
Vick, although
he's
Mike
bigger than
Vick
Mike
is,
Vick, though. Mike Vick is a tiny dude, you know, for a quarterback. So he might be
Mike
able to
Vick
take
got his
more
money.
Hits.
Mike Vick got his money. He, you know, I guess when you get a $100 million contract, you know, you got to – things change because he's regressing back in Atlanta.
Tim Tebow took a snap in that game and did what my son Jimon would do. He turned around in a circle.
Yo, that was hilarious. He ain't get sacked. He ain't get sacked. I'm like, yo, they really did not sack dude after he did a whole 360.
Wait. Listen.
He took his eyes off of the play.
He didn't know what was going on. He was oblivious to the game.
and almost threw a touchdown.
And he, but here's what's crazy, Austin.
Derek Decker should have caught that ball.
He completed a couple passes, and even in only completing a couple passes, his stats were still better than Kyle Orton's.
Well, I don't
what
really
is that,
too
what
much
is
about
that,
Kyle.
What is that saying about Kyle Orton? My point is, the point of all this is, what do you have to lose by letting him play?
Well, I don't know that I disagree. I don't know that I disagree with that point, Jimmy, because I think y'all are garbage, so it doesn't really matter. But
that question is dependent. That question is dependent
on who
you ask.
The dream team.
The coach
long,
might have
long
something
term,
to lose. Might,
y'all don't want to see us.
Listen, I didn't say that. I'm just saying right now we may be garbage, but we got the same record as the dream team. So it is what it is. We try to get out.
Would you rather have Tebow or Vince?
That's not what I'm arguing, man. That's not what I'm arguing.
He did the Tebow circle.
No, that's not what I'm arguing. I'm just saying, our record is what it is right now, but we got the same record as the Dream Team.
He did the Tebow circle. Do you rather have Vince or Tebow?
Honestly, I'd rather have Vince.
Vince, okay.
All right, listen, our man E. Emmanuel on Facebook said, Tim Tebow is garbage. There's nothing he's shown passing the ball to give you any confidence of winning, and Sanchez needs a new system. That's all. Schottenheimer is a horrible O coordinator.
I don't know about that.
Hold up. Ain't Emmanuel a Raiders fan?
No, that's Kev. Kev Lang is a Raiders fan. He is a Redskins fan.
Who, Emmanuel
that's
is?
That's even worse.
Yeah, he's a Redskins fan. No, but he's not a rah-rah Redskins fan, though. You know, he's like us with the Eagles.
Worse.
He tell you their flaws. He don't talk a lot of trash about them. We might hit some stuff this weekend if they beat the Dream Team, though.
Yo, stop saying that.
I wouldn't call it a dude. Like, my thing is, people are like, he said Tim Tebow is garbage. What are you basing that on? I'm not
on
saying he's any good, but
on the circle and them passes he's throwing.
Come on,
cuz. He's
shot putting
the
football.
Come on, cuz.
I mean, as a pure passer, his mechanics are terrible. I'm not even going to say flawed. They're terrible. But like you say, he has that intangible thing where dudes will follow him into a foxhole.
Look, Doug Flutie had a long career, and his mechanics was trash.
Don't disrespect Doug.
I definitely think that Tebow would have to improve as a passer to be successful in the league, because if he just keeps pulling off his poor man's Michael Vick impression, defenses are going to catch up to that by his third
exactly.
Step, and it's going to be over.
Course.
He
has
to improve.
I mean, they've caught
definitely
up to Vick at this point, so I totally agree with
you.
What
that's
I'm saying
kinda
is when it comes to quarterbacks, people are quick to make judgments. I'm not talking about him specifically. I'm talking about in general, like, people,
I think Tebow is hungry, though. I think he's hungry. I think he's
going
to do whatever he has to do.
You can't,
I think
he
the whole lockout,
you
I think the lockout stunted his growth, because he is a hard worker. So he would have been out there.
I find myself agreeing with what both of y'all are saying, particularly Death. Listen, the dude is hungry. He wants to win bad. I like him as a football player. I might even like him as a human being, although I don't know. He might be on his Mormon game, but that's another story.
That means he might be the Eagles quarterback in a couple of years. Andy Reid bring him in, you know what I mean?
Nah, he
don't have a tan. I like you, but my thing is, the stuff that dude does, he can't continue to do that, because if the film
Austin, that was
out
the first
on him,
game of the season, though, B, you ain't played in like four games his entire career. My thing is, give him a chance to fail. Let him play the rest of the season. If he continues to run circles in Week 16, then, like, you know, set his ass out of here. If he continues to run circles in Week 15 and 16,
basically, I see what it is. Like, Jimmy's approach is the same as we had with Kevin Cobb last year. Like, don't judge him right away.
I'm with it.
Let the ball play, and if he garbage,
yo,
then
Kevin Cobb threw for 300. Kevin Cobb went over 300 back to back.
How does Kevin Cobb look now this year? Like, I mean, you know, like, it is what it is. I mean, football is a fickle sport, but you got to give the guy a chance. Like, Kevin Cobb did that play with Andy Reid. Andy Reid can have you out there for over 300 yards.
I'm a pretty good athlete. I don't know that I see the things in Tim Tebow to come out for him to improve. That's my thing. It's like with Cam Newton. Cam has the tools to where.
Here you go. I can pull up some footage where you compare Cam Newton to Jamarcus Russell. I did compare, but I'm not blind either.
I'm seeing the dude play. I'm watching him play.
Look, man, like I'm saying, just give the thing is, you like I told you on this, if we listen to that show, which I just did yesterday, what I told you when you dissed Cam, I was like, look, just give him a chance. He may be a bum, he may not, but we won't know until he gets a chance to play. And that's my
point. And he still may be a bum, Jimmy. I'm not saying that he's not going to be a bum.
That's exactly my point.
I'm looking at the tool set. I don't see Cam is carrying a toolbox. Whether he chooses to open it or not is on him. I'm saying that Tim Tebow don't have a toolbox. He has a brown bag with his lunch in it.
I hear what you're saying, fam. You want the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
I hear what you're saying, fam, but at the end of the day, we all know it's not just about what tools you have, because we also see people with toolboxes who've never opened them. So with not having overachieved, he may overachieve. You never know. With that being said, speaking of overachieving, let me see what you guys think about this. What do you think about the Lions overall? Are they the real deal at 5-0? And what did you think about the Monday night intro they had with Barry?
Hold on. Can I answer real quick? Megatron was treating them dudes like Starscream.
What did you think about Mr. Barry Sanders?
I don't think that the opening was bad. I actually like the creativity, but they're going to have, if they don't already, they're going to have to hire some new creative people, because they're going to have to find that opening every week. Every week you're not going to get a legend from the particular franchises hosting the game. So they're going to have to find something to do every week to replace the little jam that we've gotten used to. I'm with somebody. I forgot. Somebody on our Facebook page said earlier in the week, like, I don't need any of it, for real. Just throw on the Monday Night Football theme, you know what I'm saying, and I don't need it either.
I would rather them just not go up to the booth and watch your man up there, like, having oral copulation with every male quarterback.
They could just throw this on for a minute and a half.
They should cut out John Gruden's segment. The things that John Gruden does and says are unconscionable, man.
Yeah. But as far as the team goes, they could keep bringing back
the legends. Like they brought back Barry. They can bring back, like, a legend from each team. I mean, they need something to do anyway.
Yeah. Either that, or they can just throw on the theme that we just played, show some shots of the city, some shots of the team, to get you hype and just go to work. You know what I'm saying? Come to Philly.
Am I the only one on here that likes
show the Liberty Bell, show the steps, show the Rocky statue, go in the gym, show some cheesesteaks on the grill, and then kick the ball off. That's all you need to do.
Are you the only one that likes Philly now, would you say, Austin?
Am I the only one that likes Hank Williams?
Yes.
I don't know.
What do you think about the Lions?
I like it, but I don't need it. You know what I'm saying? I don't need it.
The Lions are for real. I'm not gonna put them past. I'm not gonna say where they'll end up in the grand scheme of things, playoff wise or seeding wise. First of all, they're not beating Green Bay, so they'll have to be a wild card. But
how about your Giants? They gonna beat your Giants?
Would they beat the Giants?
No, your Giants. Giants you said was going to the bowl.
Nah, I'm an Eagles fan. The Giants that are better than Denver, true. I'm looking at the Lions, and it's beyond just the three that come up. It's beyond Megatron. It's beyond Stafford. It's beyond Sue. They are good all the way around.
Because when you watch closely, Stafford isn't blowing the world away like everybody thinks he is. Everybody's looking at his stats, yes, and they're looking impressive. But when you watch the game, Stafford is benefiting from having
Megatron.
A transformer at wide receiver, and he literally throws the ball up every time he throws the ball at that dude, except for that long run. But I'm not saying he's bad.
So,
Stafford's
going on the other side,
as impressive as we thought he was.
On the other side of the ball, their D line is dominant. Beyond suit, their D line is dominant, and they run a platoon system. So you get three plays, all right, come out for two. You get three plays, you come out for two. So, and they've got quality at D line. They've got decent linebackers, which we don't have, and their secondary is majorly underrated.
You know what? I mean, they are dominant up front beyond Sue, but it's probably because of Sue. Yeah, you're right. The linebackers are decent, and that made me look at, you know, the Dream Team situation because they run a wide. I'm going to call them that every time because I'm being just as sarcastic as everybody who hates the Eagles. I don't care because I can keep calling them that, and if we happen to turn it around and go to the bowl, then I'm going to throw Dream Team in the face
Dream
the other
team.
Way.
I just like the way I just find it funny how Vince Young said it. Dream Team.
Oh, yeah. But listen, they run a wide nine, too. But their linebackers were
good
enough to go up into the, you know, into those gaps and actually make tackles and not get blown away inside of a gap. So yeah, they have a pretty decent defense. Am I sold on the Lions? Y'all know me, I'm a hard sell, man. I still don't believe in Buffalo.
Know, and Dad's still gonna be like, I don't know yet, y'all.
Let me see what they do in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I like the way they're building from like the interior. They build on the offensive line and the defensive line, which is how a team should be built. And if they can
Jarvis Best is overrated.
Cool. See, this is the thing. Don't get me wrong.
Jarvis Best
is
overrated.
I definitely think the Lions and Buffalo are improved and they're on the right track. But it's going to take more than five games for me to just say, all right, I'm sold. They're a top, you know, they're a good team. They're one of the better teams in the NFL.
I didn't know that.
It's hard to say that after, you know, for the past 20 years, y'all have been the, like, stinkers of the league. So it's going to take 20 years to build that.
Dev, we got a question for you in the chat room, and that is, can the Lions still play on Thanksgiving?
Nah, they ain't earned that yet. I mean, it's probably going to be exciting this year. But y'all remember on Thanksgiving, I trashed the Lions and why we always have to watch them. You know, a half a season, isn't going to change that. It's definitely not going to change that, but they are on the right track. So put it like this. If they continue to be good, you know, they become a playoff team over the next 4 or 5 years perennially, you know what I'm trying to say. I can't talk right now. Then I wouldn't mind them extending that Thanksgiving Day contract for another 4 or 5 years. But they didn't earn that.
Well,
because the Lions have been bad
for
50 years, not just 20. They've been bad for 50 years.
Dev's not ready to make a judgment. Like Austin says they're for real. Austin says they're for real. Dev's not ready to make a judgment. The Scott Mitchell Niners was like that.
Not for
but anyway, real quick, though. How about the Niners? Want to make any judgment on them yet?
I don't believe in the Niners, but they play in the NFC West, so they got that division won, in my opinion. We all thought they should have won it last year.
I picked them as a sleeper last year.
Me and Jimmy were in Vegas. We were in Vegas laying down bets for them to go to the Super Bowl, not because we thought they were going to go, but the odds were crazy, and we thought they might be able to at least sneak into the playoffs.
That was my sleeper last year, and they never woke up. They stayed asleep.
I know.
Austin,
they embarrassed you, and you told them about themselves at the end of the season, too.
Yeah.
You go ahead, brother Jimmy.
No, I said, what's your opinion of the Niners? Do you think they're for real?
Think they're for real.
Tampa Bay got hands their whole life, not just their ass. I just like with Buffalo and the Lions, they're doing some things differently that kind of makes me feel good about what they're trying to accomplish. I think ultimately they will go as far as Alex Smith would take them, and I don't think he's ready to take that next step because defensively they're good, but their offense is very conservative, and they just lost their best wide receiver in Josh Morgan.
And Frank Gore, his health is off and on.
Frank Gore is going
to
get more carries.
Let me tell you something about Frank Gore. I watched Frank Gore destroy the last couple of games, but I also saw him
man.
Get.
He just heals.
I saw him get interviewed after the game, and I really believe that there's no way that anybody at the U takes the SAT. You can't tell me. You can't tell me he took the SAT there. So dude
Francis
talks like an indentured servant.
Yo.
He sound like Bushmouth called like, Fat Albert, yo. He talk like Mushmouth. He's like, hey, but homie, Katie, I'm going to have a good potato, baby.
Yo,
he's like, come
crazy.
On, cuz.
Yo, and he looks like he's got on a costume from Planet of the Apes.
Yo.
All hell season.
Killing, dude,
yo,
man.
But time is getting, yo. And matter of fact, Nyrin is right.
Yo,
shout
I got to kill him, dead. He killed us.
Because
yeah.
Tampa Bay stunk the joint up.
48
but real
to
quick, the last thing I want to talk about, because we got like 5 minutes left, I want to talk about the Dream Team. I mean, you guys are Eagles fans, so I'm just going to open the floor up to you and let you guys give me your opinion on the Dream Team.
Dream Team?
Good.
they dropped another winnable game. The wide nine scheme does not work for us. Bring it back when we get some linebackers, when Andy Reid, if he's still around, when he puts some stock into actually getting some decent linebackers, then maybe we can bring that back and be one of the more dominant defenses in the league. Doesn't work for now, so it just needs to be scrapped, seriously, unless it's on like third and long. Get in your wide nine and go after the quarterback. If they run a draw up the middle, then so be it, because they're probably going to get to third and 21 if they run a draw up the middle on us. offensively, the team is very explosive, but the team is very stupid. A lot of turnovers, you know. I get that some of the turnovers lately have come from guys trying to make a play. But, come on, you still got to hold on to the ball because this is the NFL. You got to keep your head on a swivel. You got to know what's going on around you. Try to make a play, but hold the ball tight while you're trying to make the play.
It's
frustrating, man.
I'm going to start off offensively. I mean, I've torn my team apart enough. I'm going to just say this. A wise man once told me, I'd rather be able to consistently get 9 tens than 190, because that explosiveness, those are low percentage plays. When we need to, when we have to get 6 to 8 yards, we don't have a play right now that we can go to beyond a shadow of a doubt and get that 6 to 8 yards.
We yes, we do. Mike Vick, scramble. Run. Run.
Yo,
heck,
my
run.
Only comment, is rest in peace, Jim Johnson.
Yo, I was going to get to the other side of the ball. It's been – I used to hang my hat for as long as I can remember on our defense. I grew up on it. And I can live with being a 6-10 team if I can at least say that on defense, we're going to smash your mouth, y'all not going to beat us by much.
Right.
But right now, our defense has no pride. Like, they're almost not even they're not masculine. They're not playing the game in a masculine way. Fred Jackson got hit 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and then ran for another 12 and got 7 yards. And we missed 4 tackles in the span of 12 yards. How do you miss that many tackles in that space? Everybody's around you.
And the offense
we allow Frank Gore
score.
To come in on a broken wheel, have 15 carries and get 122 yards, and then come on TV and say, yeah, I broke their wheel. They don't want to play no more.
It is frustrating to see the defense like that. The offense, on the other hand, is a big play offense. They can't sustain drives. Lately, they all been, like, any drive that looked like it's going to be a good 10-play drive, it ends in an interception or a fumble. And once we get into the red zone, it's a wrap. We're either going to the skinny neck kicker or we're going to turn the ball over. So they got to, you know, we definitely have to be
skinny
better.
Neck, the skinny neck kicker?
Yeah, I just don't think Duke can kick long field goals because his neck too skinny. He just looks.
Like I said before, all I'm saying is rest in peace, Jim Johnson. Real quick, we got 2 minutes left. Did you guys hear about Donovan McNabb saying he doesn't know why he got booed at home in the win?
You know why you got booed. He tried to say, I've never been all about numbers. Yeah, because you don't get them. But I've never been all about numbers. I'm all about wins. He's talking about, I'm all about wins. So if I don't throw for a lot of yards and we still win, then what's the problem? And he's talking about all this talk about my mechanics is getting out of hand.
Yo, you've been in the league like 17 years. Like, your mechanics are still the same as they were when you were a rookie.
Nah, they're not. His arms are getting shorter.
I think you guys are getting a kick out of that. Yo, considering
I don't even want to kill
Jimmy,
you, man.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Do you really – you asked that question. You know I'm on the air with y'all. Do you really want me to respond to that?
Nah, man, we're going to get out of here on that. Cause we
because we're going to get out of here. We about to let the people enjoy some real teamwork.
Yeah, y'all don't want
to
know.
Before we put that on, thanks, everybody, for joining us in the war room this evening. Special shout-out to the callers, chatters, Facebookers, tweeters, everybody who chimed in on tonight's topics. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another edition of Man Cave Radio. We'll update you on NBA lockout and all the other sports stories. You know what I mean? Check us out this week on Facebook, facebook.com/WarroomSports. Holla at y'all next week.
White dog. Thank you, Cracker.
Get him.
Pussy in the box.
Ariana.
Put him in the grave, Zach. You pop the trunk. Hey, throw him in the bag, Jack. I dig him a grave. Put a brick inside that tear rocks when I print up a page. Moving keys, I can't relate, cause I live in a cage. I throw up the A, I take him to school, I give him a grade. An easy E for effort, that's WWA. White with an attitude, alphabet soup is on my plate. On the goddess knees, they sleeping on me, I can't get them awake. I full beat them a sound in the room with the deceivers and clowns who believe in making it rain, cause all they see is the clouds. And I'm watching the cow from the VIP like a potato with a bunch of meatheads like shit. I just feed him a cow. Plenty of white boys to pick from this year. But before you pick a pepper, you better pick up your heater. Cause even Peter Piper can pick up a mic. But what it's like to pick a fight with me is like putting Nikes on a cheetah. Better speed up. Or release in my case Adidas. I'm out to drink his fight, brother, 2 liter. Holler. Shady Backer.
Now I need the scratch to give me air.
Wait.
I'm about to get him right.
Okay.
Yo, say I'm from the new school. I'ma say check your tone and watch your mouth. If they teaching how to Dougie, I'm condoning dropping out. Forced a while. Y'all birthed me and gave me up. I just perfected being hip-hop's forced a child. Now check it. Don't blame y'all for being trash fans of copping it. The radio's the crime scene. The masses are the hostages. In my youth, I throw shots. The fad was dodging it. I'm grown. I ain't watching the throne. I'm sabotaging it. You see that four-headed monster in the storm loom. Snipe him from a distance. The scope got a long zoom. You Super Mario thugs is in the wrong room. Gotta figure here you won't get bigger if you on shrooms. What's left of me, I'd revive with the game be bout. I'd have took the wine out of Amy house. Enough rats from you scrub cats about cocking a snub back. Wayne couldn't teach me how to love that. But I got this shit from uptown, she my summer bunny. Both parents broke, but she come from money. Think my bread is her paper to burn, so I lock her out. And now she doubt David is stern. She's so bad, I make her hit the telly from a taxi. Then dead her in that Holiday Inn, learned that from Max B. That's why the haters envy kinda wanna send me llamas. I made it right before the eyes like I was Benihana. Is it me or is what I'm hearing is pitiful? Airways the same, now the stereo's typical. My skin thick, so the critics ignored. So unafraid to die, you think I did it before. The boys rob me with the trash talk. Magic of wall with the black ball, way I bounce off the ass for with cat paws, glass jaw. Hoodie your mask will be the black for with no passport. Body be found in a mansion in one of my trap doors. If punks had awards, your status or a category. Probably be that of awards with Michael Rappaport and Kenny Lattimore. I know hip hop's alive and well. If it died, you other crews wouldn't survive the smell.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you scared now?
Make that face at him, dog.
Crooked eye. Get him.
I spot a victim, the plot a thicken. When the clock is ticking, I caught him slipping. I gotta give him a shot, I hit him with proper spitting. Hottest written in composition, so competition's a contradiction. Somebody mentioned they got it crooked, highly fiction. We probably different, got Gotti henchmen. Opposition, our body quick as Bugatti engines. I'm on a mission to get richer, the sickest lyric. Kick a dig in the dish for different spitters. Weak lyricists get disfigured, sip liquor. Spit like a sick mixture, a notorious pun and L. Get the big picture, the poster, I'll roast ya. My mind's so deadly, it's just like the beanie is close to a holster. It's over, control my whole coastal region like I'm supposed to. Flow is going postal even, open season, heart close to freezing, roofless is easy. Approach, I'm squeezing, believe me, dope is west coast of breathing. So most you hope I'm vegan, nope I'm beefing. Rappers need to keep it real, give me a beat to kill. Too many people still eating sleeping pills, people sleeping on my ether skills. And y'all ain't even real, you about to die in this cycle. Before you die, you should do the Jada and leave a will, for real.
I ain't a rap dude, I'm a dude who rap. Before this, I was moving. I'm killers y'all become when y'all rhyme, I salute and dap. And if I blink, they'll remove your snaps. You ain't cool, you whack with your foolish act. Skinny jeans don't mean your ass shoot, it means your booty claps. Don't play like Tyler Perry, this the slaughterhouse of pain. Float brown, tight and heavy. When it come to 16s, I'm a fiend. Seen in a studio, near a needle with a mean lean. Probably writing bars of nasty theme. Getting my yow on, near all these Elijah wands. Be the dream theme. This is an all-day slaughter. They fiending for us to break like Beyonce's water. The four quarters doing all the eating. And y'all gotta know why I made the cut. I'm Puerto Rican. Ortiz, keep the fire ready. And trying to put me out like trying to steal a transvestite from Eddie.
Yeah. I'm do or die dope. And you can make the sticker sitting on the door of that Phantom your suicide note. Hi, Rihanna. It's Nicki living with you. Let me know so I can buy binoculars and telescopes. Hi, Rihanna. I don't need to know you better. You tell me you love my music again, we go together. Bye, Rihanna. Now back to y'all fools. We rock out like the outside of a guitar school. $1,000 frames, I prefer to see the world through. Don't ask me nothing about button. I'm my girl, too. You ask me why do I keep her? I say it's cheaper, too. That's why I ride around in the roads like Wiz Khalifa do. Rappers, I'm your daddy. I tell you straight as this. You don't kill, but your father will like Jaden Smith. I tell you like I tell my Spanish chick. You fly, but I ain't going down no. So get your wax on like Danielson. Now I'ma have to run like De La Hoya and drag when cameras come. Point out the greatest rapper alive. I smack his girl on the butt and buy some red bottom. Bring every deceased rapper back to see his wife while I'm cybersexing with Jessica Alba via Skype. I'm on my D-boy Debo thing, spiritual steelo swing like CeeLo Green. Get out the camera with your B-roll bling, you know your flow is whack. We cornered the market like a Walmart in the cul-de-sac. Yeah, this with 2 million singles sold, and the album is gold. Looks like without having to sell your soul. Nickel.
Wait, can I rap?
You the boss, you better get up.
Me rap?
You better represent.
Yo. Lyrical, miracle, spiritual, individual, criminal, subliminal, in your swimming pool.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man, kick that one. That's the approach. Drop it.
You about to see peace destroyed. It'll never be restored. When I unleash these beastly hordes on your CD stores. Wanna stop it? You gon' need a priest, at least three swords, a license to ill from the Beastie Boys, three Ouija boards, and a squeegee. And please be warned, don't ask what the squeegee's for, or the holy water. Acid bats, it'll eat these floors, eat a hole in the rhyme book. You see these horns? And as for me, you ask when I'm gone, will he be mourned? Is Duke lukewarm? Should Casey Anthony do porn? Can that chick fit a newborn dead baby inside a freaking shoebox with a shoehorn? Smothered in chloroform so she can go get a groove on? Can she duct tape and Velcro a fetus? Joel, yo, tell Joe I need his empty box from his old shell toe Adidas so I can put these babies in the fetal position. They're getting elbows to the penis. Yeah, big deal. I took some little kid's big wheel and spit in this freaking big kid's meal. Quit trying to bite me and pinch you, went sit still. You just put your 6-inch heel through my pin's windshield? Is it dust we about to kick up? Can Yellow Wolf fit a fifth of rum in a big cup between his stick zip and his freaking pickup and drink like a hick? Redneck hillbilly will till he gets hick up. Flipping his whip up like Mike Vick getting bitten his junk by a pit. Yup, I'm a sick pup. I'd be a horrible magician cause I'm a trick up. Fix your lips up to say something fly or zip up. A, B, let's see. You said you're gonna do X, Y, Z. So you f*** around and get dropped like an E when you add an ING. Don't put a K in front of that though when I MC. Cause I'm not the king of this microphone booth. It's more like a phone booth. Superman and his kryptonite won't do. It gives me more power. I bump the fat poison. Eat rat poison. Take meteor showers. Fresh out of the mental hospital. And me not flossing a middle finger while I hop in the hospital. Be like Nas doing gospel or R&B. You crazy? Me pushing up daisies. That thought is impossible. Is it blasting across the news? Pause the news. Was caught with a prostitute with a huge Johnson boobs and a monstrous tube. A loop and a bra, some boots, some panties and an aqua blue monster swallowing a popsicle. Playing tonsil pool. So kill the rumors. It ain't happening. I'm a rap till I'm fossil fuel.